Blog Talk Radio.
When the music won't stop. They don't stop singing, man. I mean, I'm enjoying it. Don't get me wrong, man. I'm just getting stuck talking.
How do you make it stop?
That's too much. That's too much technology. That's right. I love that movie.
You know a song I want you to play next week?
What, man?
Play a song, The Tales of a Clown.
Tales of a Clown? Man, that takes me way back, man. For some reason, I think of Tit. I'm feeling Tit. James Ellis. For that song, for some reason, I think he was around the house. He used to play it a lot, like back in the day.
You do what?
I feel like Tit was around our house a lot back in the day. That song used to play.
Mm-hmm.
I just liked that song. The music sounded like the serpents and all that. They heard that thing.
How long is this music gonna play though, for real?
That's a penalty, man. That is no penalty. We're giving it a ride.
How do you stop it? Huh?
Normally, you get stopped. Normally.
Maybe if I hang up and call back, it'll stop.
Normally.
Maybe if I hang up and call back to the stop.
Not you. No. Things happen for a reason, man. This song is happening for a reason. That's for real. That song lasted so long when it got through playing, the computer started clacking. That's a trip right there. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Brothers for Real Radio Show. We like to come in here every Wednesday night and kind of talk to each other about some stuff. But seriously, we would be really happy if you would join us sometimes. Call in if you have a question or just want to make a comment. We'll be happy for you to do that. If you do call in, the number to call in is 215-383-3872, and we do have some callers on the line. And if there is a caller on the line that would like to say something, if you hit the number 1 on your keypad, that'll let us know you want to speak, okay? Like I said, the number to call is 215-383-3872. Brothers, how you doing tonight? I'm Leon down here in Waynesboro, North Carolina, still eating off the stuff that I had for Thanksgiving Day. Is that safe, ladies and gentlemen? Is there anyone out there who can tell me I should stop eating this stuff right now?
Okay, I can tell you stop eating this stuff by now. This is Curtis Gatewood here in Alamance County, Burlington, North Carolina. Many people are becoming familiar with Graham, North Carolina, which is also in Alamance County because it's all over the national news, where people recently were pepper sprayed during a peaceful protest. And so it has become national news. and the police. Of course, we have a racist sheriff up here by the name of Terry Johnson. He's a racist. And he, of course, has, we've had our run-ins before in 2019 in February, where they arrested me for speaking 1 minute over my time during an Alamance County meeting, saying that I had 3 minutes and I spoke four. So I ended up having to go to jail until some good people from Alamance County came and bailed me out. In fact, I was going to stay in jail because I was not going to even try to entertain these police, I mean, all these deputies in trying to bail myself out. But the great people of Alamance County came and bailed me out. This was 2019. Now here we are. Most people are hearing the name Drumright. He's a minister out of Greensboro who had been leading some demonstrations here in Alamance County. And during the time he was demonstrating, there were some people who were wrongfully pepper sprayed and arrested. So that has gained national news. I think today they had Crump, the attorney who is the attorney for George Floyd, and I think he has been attorney for several of the people who've been arrested or killed wrongfully by police officers. But there are some issues that we are dealing with internally as it pertains to folk who come to Alamance County at the time when sometimes we've had to fight the fight alone or have been being fought while we were fighting the fight. And now certain people are crawling out of the woodworks, especially, President Spearman and people like that, who basically were attacking us while we were having to fight the same racists that we're now seeing still scattering the sheep across Alamance County. The Alamance NAACP was actually fighting these racists while I was president. I was president for a month, and these racists within the NAACP who wear black faces were attacking us while we were fighting the racists. In fact, someone filed a complaint against me out of the North Carolina NAACP at the time we were fighting the racists. They accused me of wanting to get attention when the police officers racistly arrested me for no reason other than the fact that I was speaking against a racist sheriff who was in the process of being supported by the Alamance County Commissioners with millions of dollars for ICE, custom agency that Trump then put together that would arrest Latinos and immigrants for no reason, took away their rights, and started arresting them. I was there speaking out against a racist sheriff when I was arrested, and at the same time having to fight complaints against my brothers and sisters. Well, it was a political year. 2019 was a political year. It was the year that we did NAACP elections. I was having to fight black folk while I was fighting racism, the same people who now people are all over the country here in Alamance County talking about this racism, some of the very people that were fighting us while we were fighting the racists. Anyway, I just had to get it off my chest. All right,
Lee. Hey, Curtis, I appreciate you getting that off your chest, man, because I actually do recall that moment when you were being attacked by the NAACP for standing up. I mean, and like, man, you just know, like you just made note, though, it was politics. Like you just made note. Here's what I'm gonna say.
Okay.
Politics gonna be the end of the world. They're gonna call it the end of the world. Politics is the reason all this foolishness going on in the national stage right now. Donald Trump and all this foolishness. Well, politics and, of course, racism is some of the reasons. The same two issues you're dealing with, you had to deal with in 2019 on the national stage now. And this is what I got to say to black folks. If we don't get ourselves together, if we don't catch on, when I say catch on, if we don't realize how stupid and how irresponsible it is for us to start fighting amongst each other using the same little old crazy tricks that people use against us, against ourselves, we're not going to make it.
Yeah, Leon, I want to say one more thing, then I'm going to turn it over.
Yes, sir.
I want to say one more thing.
Please do.
Listen, everybody, you can call William Barber. You can call Spearman. You can tell them I said this. But we were supposed to have an election for the North Carolina NAACP for 2019. On October 5th, 2019, the North Carolina NAACP was supposed to have an election. I was a candidate for president of the North Carolina NAACP, running against the incumbent person now who's still calling himself the president, when they blocked the election, stopped the election, pulled my name off the ballot. Okay.
It's like Trump.
What they did would be, listen, this what they did would be like if Trump and his cronies and his racists got together and said, on 9 days before the election, we're going to have a press conference about Tara Reid, who made allegations against Joe Biden. We're going to have a press conference 9 days before the election and call on the Senate and the Congress to take Biden off the ballot because Tara Reid made allegations against Joe Biden. Had they done, and meanwhile, Trump is breaking every rule in the book, and you keep him on the ballot. Had it not been for good black folk within the NAACP who went to Baltimore and stopped the election, they would have held the election with me off the ballot. And I was the only person contesting the incumbent president. So had it not been for that, they would have gone on with the election the way Trump is trying to do. Now Trump is trying to overturn the people's voices. Well, the North Carolina NAACP under Spearman and Barber, they actually stopped the people from voting. They stopped the election because they knew that I am an independent candidate with a connection to the grassroots. I am not owned by anybody. I say what I say. I mean what I mean. I don't owe any favors to any person in the NAACP or outside the NAACP who represent the power structure. I speak for the people. And therefore, since no one had control over my voice, over what we've learned as children in the Gatewood House, the only way they could stop me is come out 9 days before the election and lie and stop the entire process. We are a year out. The election was scheduled for October 5th, 2019. Here we are in 2020, almost getting ready to go into 2021. There has been no hearing. There has been no election. On October 14, 2019, we submitted a request per the Constitution and bylaws for a hearing. We submitted the fact that we are saying we deny emphatically every allegation that was made. And we provided facts and exhibits calling on a hearing per the Constitution and bylaws. Here we are a year out. There has been no hearing. There has been no election. And people are just talking about Trump. I have a problem with Trump, but I also have a problem with people that Trump can use who look like us, who are playing right out of the same playbook.
No, I'm good. No. Yeah. Well, Curtis, I just want to say this, man. I respect you, your valor. I respect I respect how well you have handled this injustice upon you by people who are supposed to be fighting for justice, or ensuring that there is justice among and
Leon.
I've been with you through this time. Yeah, Joe.
Yeah, and I'm glad Curtis spoke out on that issue the way he did, especially during this time, because I think that has been one of the main problems with the struggle of black people for justice in America, that we have so many black people that's in positions that's supposed to be working towards black justice and black progress. And these people are just a bunch of hypocrites, a lot of them. And that's why every time I see, that's why right now I see Derek Johnson and William Barber, every time they come on TV and supposed to be speaking on the behalf of black people, I think about what hypocrites they are. And they had William Barber and Derek Johnson up on TV talking about voter suppression. And every time those words come out of their mouths, I think about how they suppressed the vote down here in North Carolina, stopping black folks from having an open and fair election to elect the president of the North Carolina NAACP. And I think until we start speaking out against these black people that are supposed to be representing us, and for the most part, the only people that they are representing are themselves, I think we're gonna have a lot of problems getting across our agendas that we really need to push us forward. I mean, just today, I think somebody was saying something about Derek Johnson was demanding to meet with Joe, well, somebody from the NAACP demanding to meet with Joe Biden.
Derek Johnson demanding to meet with Biden.
Upcoming agenda and what he planned on doing for black folks. Well, I don't think Derek Johnson represents enough black people to even have that conversation with anybody. Because I guarantee you, if you come to Charlotte, North Carolina, you'll find more people know Joseph Gatewood and heard of Joseph Gatewood and heard of Derek Johnson. Because he has really, I don't know of anything that he's done. He's been up there on television talking, but that's about it. You see, we just got too many black people like that in positions of power. Only thing they do is sit up and talk and pretend like they're representing somebody.
Can I ask, this is a question for you and Curtis, Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, in Kamala Harris being in the White House, shouldn't it be enough?
I don't think it should be enough.
I'm just saying.
I don't think it should be enough, but I think it's enough for Derek Johnson to be quiet right now and wait for the man at least get inaugurated. Go through inauguration and start putting his programs in place. I don't think Derek Johnson is in no position of making a demand on anybody.
Right.
Because the NAACP, for the most part, under his leadership, has been very ineffective. I don't think he's in a position to, because he doesn't represent me. He doesn't speak for me. And I'm a member of the NAACP. The only reason I joined was so I could really give him a piece of my mind. I didn't join because I thought he was a good leader or anything, because I don't think he has any courage at all. I know if he can't stand up to William Barber, he can't stand up to Joe Biden or nobody else up there.
Right. Leon, let me say this, man.
Yes, sir.
And I want to say something to my brother Joseph. I want people to know this. My brother Joseph, who you just heard talking, was the president of the Youth Council NAACP under the leadership of the adult president, Ada Ford Singleton.
Mm-hmm.
We are accustomed to having women leaders. We are accustomed to having righteous leaders. We are accustomed to supporting NAACP. I became a member at the age 10. At age 10, I became a member because rather than my brothers being gang bangers, they were NAACP leaders and activists in the community where we grew up. Joseph, I think at the time, was probably about 17. I think he might have been a senior or whatever. I think my brother Aaron was the vice president of the youth council. And I was looking over their shoulders as they were planning marches. So if anybody's tuning in right now and just thinking this is a group of people who hate black folk or hate the NAACP, I can tell you right now, nothing could be farther from the truth. We have worked and helped to build NAACP branches. I was a boy barefoot walking around selling donuts as a fundraiser for the NAACP. So we have the credibility, the work, and the sweat upon our brows to say what we are saying. And we are saying now there's something terribly wrong at the highest levels of the NAACP today. And I would go as far as saying the NAACP has been hijacked by certain people, and there is an agenda that's going through that people do not know about, actually hurting a lot of the activists on the ground. I know I gave it my all. I gave it my all. I didn't ask for money, even though I was offered a position at some point that I took. I was the longest, one of the most lawyer-serving staff persons under the leadership of William Barr. I gave it my all. I worked hard. A lot of times at the marches, I would be the first one there and oftentimes the last one to leave. And all it took was a person that worked under me who I had started asking about her contract. I said, first of all, her contract has expired. This is 3 months before I'm getting this allegation against her. I said, the person's contract expired yesterday. And if you are thinking about renewing her contract, I would like to have a conversation about my observations of performance. This was 3 months. And I said, also, I want to talk about the person who's supposed to be training her, her close friend, because he has been talking about going into the field of education. I think we should say farewell and send him on, because I do not think he's doing a good job of training this individual. These are conversations that are documented on email before these allegations came. And here comes, right as this man is getting ready to supposedly step down from president of the North Carolina NAACP in 2017, here comes allegations against me. First time. Mm-hmm. I have no criminal record. The only criminal record I have is for being arrested for black folk when I'm fighting for justice. That's my background. That's my criminal background. You can check it. But now if you check my name, you're going to see allegations coming up because 9 days before the election, certain people decided they're going to drag my name through the mud because they knew I was about to defeat the incumbent president of the North Carolina NAACP straight out of Waynesboro. And they would not let it happen. By any means necessary, they were willing to stop me. And so now we're having this conversation about the NAACP. And that's the last conversation I've ever wanted to have, because I've worked hard as a card-carrying member since the age 10, And now we're having to have this conversation. And the only reason I'm having this conversation now is the people who are willing to go to the media and talk about me are not willing to talk to me face-to-face. So if you want to call in, whatever you want to do, talk to me. talk to Curtis Gatewood about Curtis Gatewood. Don't go to the Associated Press. Talk to me. Call in.
Well, you know they're not going to do that.
Yeah,
you know they're not going to do that because you know people always like to hide behind the media when they don't have the courage to talk to a person face to face. But the thing about, you know, anytime you start seeing people do stuff like that, you know, you have to always, most of the time they're hiding something, you know, and of course, you know, the NAACP, based on what I've been reading, you know, the money was kind of messed up there, you know, the money was messed up there. And you start talking about fiscal responsibility. And when you start talking about fiscal responsibility and somebody leaving office and the money messed up, you know, they're going to do whatever they can to stop that. I mean, that's the same thing Trump doing right now. That's why he's trying to do whatever he can to overturn this election, because people go up there and you leaving a mess behind, they certain people, they don't want to see that mess. And I think the North Carolina NAACP is in a mess.
It's in a mess.
It's
in a nasty stinking mess. Guys, we'll have to take a break. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the Brother for Real Radio Show. The number to call in is 215-383-3872. If you're one of those people out there talking about Curtis Gatewood, call in 215-383-3872. Otherwise, we're going to be talking about defunding the police on the next
day. Yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get outraged. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach and what you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Some guidance from above. These people got me questioning.
Don't belong, nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering as the youth are young. So ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I can ask myself, really, what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends, not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. What's the love, y'all? Where's the truth, y'all? Come on,
I don't know.
Oh, where's the love, y'all?
We're forgiven, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. When you practice what you preach and what you say.
All right. Welcome back to the Brothers for Real Radio Show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. Talked to a lot of politicians over the past few weeks since the election. A lot of them crying the blues that they had a tough time with the narrative. You'll know why I'm saying this in a minute. They had a tough time with the narrative, trying to push the narrative or fight off the narrative of defunding the police. They were, you know, a lot of the Democratic candidates that ran for office, they were running into that subject out there. It's kind of like the Trump supporters, right? They couldn't offend us by saying, no, we don't want to defund the police. And when they say defund the police, you know, not necessarily a racist, just a regular little old white person. That just freaks them out. Help us out, Reverend. Help us out. How can we get around this?
I want to say this, and then I'll let you guys say your say whatever you're thinking. But
okay.
I think anytime we get into trying to control the mouths of the movement, we're going to get in trouble. I don't think it's the Democrats' job to try to either define or even scrutinize the language of the oppressed. There are some people out there saying defund the police. There are some people out there who are saying abolish the police. And there are some people out there who are saying F the police. Now, is it the Democratic Party's job to try to explain all of this language? No. It is the Democrats' responsibility to have a platform that they can explain. And if there is people who are saying defund the police, they should not try to offend those people. They don't necessarily have to agree with those people, but they can always say, this is my platform. And for the people who are saying defund the police, if they know enough about the community, they can also explain, this is what they are saying. They are saying they are sick of racist police killing them, and rather than giving that money, all that money to the police, let's take some of that money and put it to social services. Let's put it to people who might deal more with people with counseling. Let's take some of that money and deal with people who are in need of mental health. Let's take some of that money and deal with people who are having problems in school, who have been pushed out. They're saying, let's take some of that money and do other things with it. Now, that's how they could explain it. And if people are offended by certain language, then that is not for the politician to have to explain. I would say people should have been more offended by a racist president who is using the language law and order, when we know full well he's lawless, he's disorderly, he's a liar, he's a cheater, he's a crook, he cares nothing about the law. And the only reason he is using that statement, because he knows it is racist code language to say to the racist police, you have the green light to kill, to shoot, to beat up, and we're going to put it under the category of law and order, because law and order only applies to black people by racist police officers who are supposedly carrying out the law. It does not apply to Trump. He's now in the process of trying to pardon every devil, every crook, even his family, even himself. He cares nothing about law. He cares nothing about order. And I think that is what the Democrats should be attacking more so than what people are saying on the streets about defunding the police.
Yeah, yeah. The fact remains it's a tough political issue when people are out here in the field trying to get elected. And what I'm going to say is, I'm just trying to have a discussion here. Is there?
Yeah.
I know you say we shouldn't try to tell the strugglers, the people in the struggle, how to craft their words, but politics are politics. And if you give
right.
a man a weapon, he's going to use it. That makes sense.
My position on that is, I think that's a bad choice of word. And I think, and it would suit me just fine if they just got rid of that word and found another word in its replace. Because really, somebody had to explain to me what they meant by that. You know, just like, you know, Curtis, you know, he did a good job just then explaining that's what it means. But when you hear somebody just say defund the police, automatically you thinking, well, if you defund the police, that means you're not going to have any police because they're not going to work free. They're not going to be able to, you know, because we're not in a society yet where we, you know, where we got so much peace and harmony, you know, that everybody going to do the right thing. And of course, and we need the police. And when you say words like defund the police without explaining what you, well, you know, when you said defund, that means to get rid of the money, get rid of the money. Now, and of course, now I know reallocate some money that might not be as a catchy slogan, but that's basically what they're saying because
right
over the last few years, people they have been pumping more money into the police, you know, militarizing the police, you know, by you know providing right. them with helicopters
oh, yeah.
and M16s and you know all
yeah.
kind of you know
and armored vehicles and things like that.
That's you know traditionally used in combat, and of course
yeah.
basically what people are saying is you know take that money that the police have that they've been spending on police, you know, and put it in social programs. So every time something happens, you don't have to call the police. You know, put more money in things like mental health and community
mm-hmm.
training and counseling
mm-hmm.
and things of that nature. But
mm-hmm.
but just to come out and say defund the police, yeah, that's gonna scare a lot of people off. You know, because I mean, and I've said that before. This is not the first time I've said that.
No.
And of course, and like I said, it would suit me fine if somebody from whoever came up with that slogan just come out and say, when we said that, we used the wrong word. We didn't mean exactly what that's saying, and from now on, we just not gonna use that word anymore. But you know, to keep using it and trying to make everybody understand it. And of course, and everybody know what defund means. No, you can't do that. You just got to come out and say, well, we made a mistake by using that term and get rid of it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Go ahead, Curtis.
Yeah, and like I said, it actually, you know, when it came up in my house, you know, the word came up in my house, and we did have a conversation. That was a little debate here in my house. I was, of course, questioning the terminology. But here's the thing that really made me feel like, well, it's not really as big a deal as we are making it, is when a lot of times in the streets, whether it's burn, baby, burn, or whatever, doing certain movements, there's going to be certain language. I don't think it was said to be the Democratic Party's platform. I don't think it was meant to be politically correct or vetted to that extent. And I think people are going to start allowing people in the movement take the terminology out of the movement and start acting like they're going to attach it to the Democratic Party. I think that is the larger issue of are you going to allow people to do that because, again, there ain't no telling what's going to come out of the hood because we're mad. People are tired of being shot. Some people probably meant defund the police for real. Some of them probably did mean that.
Some of them probably did mean that. And a lot of people listening to it, you know, especially you're talking about defunding the police and the media every time you see a protest, you got people – you know, busting windows out of stores and walking down the street with TVs under the arm and stuff, and you're talking about defunding the police at the same time. That don't make for a good message.
And that's what my point is. Trump and their crew used it to politicize it. They used it. I never heard Biden say defund the police. I never heard Obama
say it. Biden said explicitly he don't believe in that. As a matter of fact,
right.
Barack Obama even talked about it tonight. He said, no, he ain't for no defund the police. And when you start using language like that, it does create a lot of confusion. And of course, and I think when people took that term and ran with it, somebody should have sat down and talked about it and discussed it and said, do we really want to put this out here? Is this what we want to really say? You know, because, you know, like I say, a lot of times, you know, you want to think about what you're saying, because even though you might mean it one way, you got to think at the same time how your opponent going to interpret, your opponent is going to interpret that, and how he can potentially use that against you.
Right. That's the right. Big part.
Well, I'm going to say this, and then I'll be through with it. There are actually people in the activist community, which I think this language came from, the activists and the movement community, who are not even saying defund the police. They're saying fuck the police. And you have some who are saying abolish the police. And so my point is, if you want to pull a phrase out of the movement and then attach it to candidates, if the candidates are weak enough to allow that, then they shouldn't be elected anyway. Because like I said, if I'm running, I'm going to have my platform, and this is what my platform is, you know, and it's not going to be what you say it is. And if you say what mine is, I'm going to turn around and say, no, we're going to talk about law and order. Where is that coming from a president who's lawless and disorderly? So I think that people who are running for whatever office you're running for, it's up to you to decide what you stand for. It's up to you to put your platform out there. And if you're going to let the media say what the people in the movement are saying, if you think it's against your platform or against your candidacy, then that's on you.
Well,
and I'm
Curtis, see, we know you don't have a political bone in your body. So you're going to say what you feel. You would never agree with somebody saying you shouldn't say defund the police if that's the way they feel. You'll never.
I don't even disagree with them saying F the police, Leon. I'm going to tell you why.
I know that.
Because
I get that.
We have all kinds of people in the movement who are fed up at different levels. And so,
yeah.
And I'm for people who, I'm not for one side of the movement. I say we need every opponent. We need people who will fight literally. We need people who will fight in the courts. We need people who will fight in the streets. We need people who will fight spiritually. So I'm pretty open to say, let people say what they want to say.
Yeah, and unfortunately, politicians are necessary. And that stuff like that just doesn't fly with politics, you know. And,
okay.
Unfortunately.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and seeing that's why, of course, and your words can always be used against you. You know, just like, you know, a lot of stuff we say tonight, you know, somebody might have an issue with and, you know, talking about the NAACP. But see, I'm not worried about the NAACP because I ain't seen anything that NAACP had done, you know, especially, you know, like I said, there are a lot of good people in the NAACP, and a lot of people, you know, their hearts and minds are in the right place in NAACP.
Yeah.
But the leadership in the NAACP, to me, especially
there's
at the top, is very weak. And,
exactly.
I don't have a problem saying that. Now, but if I was trying to kiss up the Derrick Johnson or kiss up the William Barber, I probably wouldn't say that.
Right.
But the point that I'm making is your words do have consequences when you are trying to accomplish something or you are trying to gain something.
Right.
You know, that's why when you are arrested by the police, your Miranda rights, you know, the first thing they tell you when they're giving you Miranda rights is you have the right to remain silent. Because anything you say can and will be used against you. Because they know how people can take your words and twist your words against you. And so that's why, you know, when you have a movement, and of course, and you have a national audience like activists had or still have, you know, during the George Floyd protests and all, you have to choose your words wisely. And especially when you especially when you have captured the attention of the nation, the police, you know, black people, white people, people all over the world, you have to choose your words wisely. And I just don't think the word defund and depolice, that phrase, I just don't think it was the right choice. And,
right.
And I'm still up from standing. They just need to come out and say, "We picked the. We don't mean that, and we are gonna change it. Don't we take that off the books. Take it off the books."
And let me tell you another side of that too, Joseph and Leon.
Mm-hmm.
I am. I'm part of an organization called Stop Killing Us. We have 18 points. Not one of them say defund the police. So if we have people who want to say, hey, you know, we'll do it, but we don't like defunding the police, you can talk to our organization. Only thing I'm doing is defending people who do speak in ways that I don't necessarily speak. But,
yeah, it's like,
but for people,
it's like stop
but for
the
people
police.
Who want to, people who want to support a plan for police reform, we have 18 points, and not one of them say defund the police, but we can assure you if they are implemented, black folk will stop dying at the hands of racist police officers. That's the way I end.
Okay, mm-hmm. Curtis, you're exactly right about that, and I read each of those points and agree with each of those points and agree with the part where you say black lives will be saved. Matter of fact, I think you've already studied how many black lives that you know of would already have been saved. Breonna Taylor being one of them. That was already
the first one on there. If we stand, we speak against the no-knock searches is number one. And this was put together in 2017. We did not know Breonna Taylor. Her incident occurred in 2020. But in 2017, the first thing on our list is the abolishment of no-knock searches. We did not know George Floyd, but I think it's probably item number 10, which says do not push, kick, choke anybody who has handcuffs, who are in handcuffs. They are defenseless. Take them before the magistrate. Take them before the judge. Do not punish. It is not the police's job to administer punishment. So, you know, we have all this stuff covered. So hopefully one day we can talk about that. And like I said, for people who and the good thing about it is I have friends who say defund the police who support these things. I have people who don't like defund the police who support these things. You see what I'm saying? So we can there's a room for agreement if people want to really do something.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, guys, there's a lot of work about him. We've got a lot of work.
Stop killing us. That's a good phrase there. I mean, I'd be 100% agreement with that. Stop killing us.
Yes, sir.
You never get no argument.
I think you're getting right to the point. That's the point, right?
Yeah, that's the point, right? That's the whole. That's where you're trying to get to.
And we don't have to get caught up in the language there, do we?
We had to get caught up in the language. That's straight to the point. They stop killing us.
Stop killing us.
You don't need a whole lot of explanation there. You don't need a whole lot of interpretation.
Right.
Guys, I've enjoyed the conversation tonight. Now I need to go back to this point. Curtis, thank you, man. We're still in prayer with you and what you're going through. I'm very, as your brother and friend, I am so saddened by and have been saddened over the past year or so that this has been going on. It's a travesty of justice being inflicted by the people who call themselves keepers of the justice. And, myself, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a lifetime member of the NAACP. Have been a lifetime member for several years. And like Curtis and Joseph said, this is not a personal event. Well, it's personal because it's because of what's going on with my brother. And like you said, I don't have any problem saying this because I don't have anybody behind the kitchen. I don't mind speaking up against what's going on in this situation because I don't have any I don't have anybody behind me. So
Leon,
and I do want people to know too, I brought this up because it is relevant. It's not just about me personally, but now we're talking about Trump, and rightfully so, Trump is trying to overturn an election he lost, right?
Right.
He's trying to he is the incumbent. He's trying to overturn an election he lost.
Right.
He is a flawed candidate. He lost, but he's still suggesting that he should have won and he wants to be president at all costs. Well, the problem, and we know that to be a problem in a country that prides itself on democracy. Well, black folk, we also have been the victim of voter suppression, unfair elections, and stopping our votes. We're not in a moral position if we are satisfied with our own organizations, national organizations with a national platform, when we would not only suppress, get out, and say things right before an election that's unfair, that would not allow the candidate to be able to respond to those allegations in a timely manner, because now you're throwing it out right before the election, but then you stop the entire election. Because, see, I would think, well, if you're going to say this stuff about me, you have that right to do so. But there are other people who know me. They've been with me. They've walked with me. They've talked with me. Allow those people the opportunity to decide whether I'm going to go with the allegation or am I going to go with what I know. And so I want the opportunity, just like we had with Joe Biden, who had been accused by Tara Reid, the same way we were able to choose Trump, even though he had 20 other women and we got him on video. But we still had the opportunity to make the choice. We heard the information. Now let us hear from the candidate. You heard from my enemies. Now hear from the person. Hear from the.
Yeah.
You heard from my political rivals. Now hear from me. And then let the people decide about what they think. Let them vote.
Well, you know, and every time I see Derrick Johnson and William Barber get up on television, to me, I just turn the television off, because to me, they're just sickening. And the reason I say they're sickening because at least now, you know, everybody knows that Trump is a scoundrel, and he doesn't pretend not to be a scoundrel.
That's right.
But you see people like Derrick Johnson sitting up there acting like he's some type of acting all righteous and act like he's sincere and he care about justice and he cares about democracy. And then you get William Barber, he's sitting up there talking about the voting rights and voter suppression. And he's done the same thing right here in North Carolina. Worse. And I don't understand why he has to wear a robe all the time. The preachers don't wear a robe all the time. Dr. Martin Luther King didn't wear a robe all the time. Al Sharpton don't wear a robe all the time. Reverend Jesse Jackson, other leaders. So that tells me right there he must be trying to hide something or trying to portray an image that he's really not. That's the way I interpret that. And like I said, and have the audacity to get up on television and talk about voter suppression. I mean, to me, that's just sickening. It's just sickening.
Yeah. And another reason I had to bring this up, fellas, is again, and I'm saying this to everyone, we had right here in Alamance County, where I live. Now, I try to avoid people who do bad things. I don't try to get out and stop them from doing what they do. But right here in my hometown, in Alamance County, where I moved, where I came here working putting myself on the line, actually putting my family and everybody on the line, really, because I'm in an area where there are a lot of races, okay? But I was willing to do it. The fact that I was doing it while having to deal with people who are more interested in their own political aspirations, that's the way it looked to me in 2019, because that's when we had an election. That's when I started being attacked by these people. Now, had it not been for that, and then you got people coming into this town, like Reverend Spearman, today with a press conference about the very police in our communities, which is fine if you want to talk about the police in our communities, but why would you try to stop somebody who lived there who was working on it? We were working on the issue that you are now here talking about. You know, you didn't work. We weren't even asking them to help us, Joseph, Leon. We were just asking them not to hurt us. We weren't even asking them. They said we would do the work. Just stop trying to change the rules and stop us from fighting. That's all we were asking. We were not asking for any help. We had the energy. We had the intellect. We had the fire. We had the courage. We were willing to do it. And most of our time fighting. And I just had to.
My question is, what Reverend Spearman, what are you up there talking about? Because I didn't know he's still supposed to be the president or nothing.
And see, that's the next thing. The NAACP was supposed to have entered into what we refer to as a receivership, where there was supposed to be national administrators brought into North Carolina, allowing people to keep their positions, but the administrators were supposed to take care of the North Carolina NAACP business. But we still have people who are still acting and doing anything they want to do, say anything they want to say, jump out and act as if they're doing business as usual, when we had an understanding that since we didn't have an election, that a person doesn't get a free turn when he didn't win. But that's what it looked like it turned into. It looked like I was just blocked from running against this guy so he can still say he's president. That's the way it looked.
We need to figure out a way to get on the Joy Reid show on MSNBC. Because Joy Reid seemed to be a big fan of William Barber, because she always talking to him. So we just need to talk to that sister. Let her know who she dealing with.
Well, if anybody wants to try to find a way, if anybody knows, we'll try to do some research ourselves, because this is what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to tell anybody to hate anybody. I'm not trying to tell anybody to see people as bad people. All we need to do is play by one set of rules. And when you don't play by one set of rules, then the people need to know. Because we can't win if people can pull out a different rule anytime they want to. Because that's the first thing I asked when I became in the Durham NAACP, and that's how I ended up winning the presidency. The first thing I asked for, because I was told all different types of things, you can't run now, you're too young, you got to be vice president first, you got to be here for 20 years, you got to be here for 10 years. I said, what does the rules say? Where are the rules? Give me the constitution of the NAACP, and I will tell you whether I can run or not. And when I read it, the only thing they said at that time, be a member 30 days prior to the election. And over here, now the rules have changed somewhat, 6 months before the election. And as a part of the state NAACP, make sure wherever you are running from, whatever your branch is, make sure those assessments are paid, that you are in compliance. Your membership is in compliance and your branch is in compliance. Those are the rules. They don't ask you about who lied on you, what allegation is against you, who doesn't like you. Those are the rules. And the rules have been changed. That's the problem I have. Give me the rules, I can win. If you change the rules, then I know you're doing the exact same thing that the oppressor has done to us.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Brothers for Real Radio Show. We appreciate you coming in on each Wednesday and listening to us. We will be back next Wednesday. Unfortunately, you have to call us in short. We got to get on out of here. I got another, I'm about like Tom Joyner, man. I got another plane to catch. Got another Zoom to get on, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you. Curtis, you know we're in your corner, man. God bless you. When you need us again,
hey, man,
call
I
you.
Thank you, too, man. I thank you, brothers, really. I you have been. Joseph, Robert, Leon, Daniel, all you guys, all my sisters, family, y'all have been with me. And I got other people in the community, the Alamance and AACP, other people. They've been with me. They've been supporting me. And I want you to know that I love you. They're not supporting me. They're just supporting justice. And
right.
And I appreciate you.
That's right, brother. We love you, man. We out of here, brother.
All right.
Brother,
God bless you.
We're going to dedicate this next song to Munya. We out, Munya. By calling your family.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, man, that's Donald Trump. He is that clown.
Right.
That clown is mad. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that.